You can watch us on Twitch today and every day, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. I'm Jeff Meller, along with Jesse Rogers, as we sit in for Waddle and Sylvie, who are extending their Labor Day weekend an extra day. Guess a three-day weekend, not enough for them, Jess.
Oh, I mean, they work so hard. They deserve the extra day, for sure.
We'll shoulder the load, the extra heavy burden today, and help you get your weekend started right. If you'd like to join us, 312-332-3776. If you're just joining us and you haven't heard the news of the day, of course, is that Bears president and CEO Ted Phillips has announced retire at the end of the 2022 NFL season. So he will be with the Bears for the remainder of the year. But at the conclusion, he will have served 40 seasons with the Bears and he will call it quits.
And they are looking for his replacement as we speak. So that's going to be very interesting. It's probably going to happen during the season. They'll probably name
a successor. Yeah,
I think so.
Makes sense. Have the interview process play out, and then as they get near to the end of the year, probably then go ahead and make the announcement and make it an easier transition. So that's probably the way to do it. Hopefully, it will be a successful last season for Ted Phillips and potentially a successful first season for a brand new rookie on the Bears roster. I'm talking, of course, about the man who looks like he's going to be the starting left tackle for the Chicago Bears.
I like this guy a lot.
Raving about Braxton Jones, my man.
Yeah, I came in Monday with Yurko midday, and I was just like, I know I'm no football expert, but I watched that game like three times, and I focused on the left side. I swear to God, I don't think Braxton Jones missed a block in that preseason game.
You're right. Two football novices who don't know as much as somebody like Yurko, but nevertheless, somebody who knows a thing or two about it. The Bears GM, Ryan Poles, yesterday raved about his fine young rookie. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead, and before we bring in Braxton Jones, for any of the audience members out there who did not see it, and actually, Tyler, can you help me out here? There's a Braxton Jones cut. I want to play Ryan Poles talking and raving about Braxton Jones.
What do you know? 2 days after Jesse Rogers raves about him and is blown away about him, and then Yurko tells me to slow my roll, the GM comes in and says similar about this great rookie.
Ryan Poles, yesterday, meeting the media, he was asked, hey, did you think of Braxton Jones when you drafted him as your potential starting left tackle? This is what Ryan Poles had to say.
We thought he definitely had starter potential and he could develop. I've been blown away by how fast he has developed. I think that there's a lot of credit for, you know, our coaches and Chris Morgan, and they've done an excellent job, and he continues to kind of check the boxes. You go from OTAs, hey, that guy looks pretty good, and then you go to, all right, but we got to go to training camp, we got to put pads on, still does pretty good. All right, let's see when the lights come on and go to preseason. Is he going to do it then? Does it get, because the longer you do this, and you've all seen, you see these spikes, and then like, where did he go, you know? And he just continues to climb and get better and better and better. And then now that next phase is going, I mean, week one, he's going to see a big dog, you know? So, and I told him too, there's going to be ups and downs. And I think part of being a really good player is the short memory. Like, how can you overcome some of those bad plays? That's going to be the next step for him. And just seeing, you know, those top rushers in this league, it's no joke. A lot of guys struggle with them. But can you battle? Can you fight and have that short memory when things go bad? And do you have the toughness to stick in there? So I'm excited for him, and I'm excited for what he's become. He has not given that spot up, and he just keeps fighting and fighting and fighting. So I'm proud of that kid.
Bears GM Ryan Poles with some effusive praise for the man who will be protecting Justin Fields' blind side against the big dog, Nick Bosa. Let's bring him in and ask him if he's ready. Braxton Jones joins us on Waddle and Sylvie. Meller and Rogers in for the guys. Braxton, are you ready for the big dog, Nick Bosa, on opening NFL weekend?
How's it going? Sorry. I think the biggest thing is not saying I'm ready right now, but using this time to prepare as best I can. And, you know, I think the preparation is going to make me ready. You know, you don't look at what's done on Sunday. You look at what's done on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all leading up until the game. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, and making sure, you know, I'm checking those boxes throughout the week and making it crystallize in my mind exactly the looks that I'm going to see. You know, if he lines up this way, you know, just making sure all of that is crystallized. I don't think it's all going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm ready right now or anything like that. I'll feel better and better going into game one by my preparation. And that's week in and week out. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just making sure every week I have a plan. I'm sticking to the plan, and then coming out game day, and I'll feel ready by my preparation.
First of all, welcome to Chicago, Braxton. It's probably been quite something for you coming from Utah, growing up there, going to school there. What's it been like being in Chicago? What was training camp like as it comes to an end here?
Chicago's nice. I like it so far. Obviously, you know, where the Bears kind of stay up in the Lake Forest area is a little bit different than like downtown Chicago. But we, as rookies, we got to go down there and see. But it's been nothing but great. I mean, you know, it's a grind. It's hard, but, you know, it's rewarding having, you know, getting through the first camp, getting through the, you know, first couple preseason games of my career and stuff like that. So it's super rewarding, and seeing, you know, progress in my play and stuff like that. And I got a long ways to go, but, you know, it is nice to see all of that for sure.
It felt like you had a really good game against Cleveland. Can you assess yourself? What did the coaches say? I didn't see you miss a block, my friend.
yeah, no, for sure. I when I assess it, there's a lot to work on. Obviously, I'm staying in front of people. I've done that well, but I think, you know, there's some looks where it can look way better, and just playing with a little bit more pad level and stuff like that. But in terms of overall, I felt a lot better finishing-wise, and, you know, helping the running back up. And I think that's the stuff that's super important too, and that's more intimidating, is when you see guys, all 5-0 linemen, all of us, you know, attacking the line of scrimmage. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, is getting more comfortable with my guys, working with Cody, and just, you know, getting off the ball. I think that's more important. And obviously, you know, as an individual assessing my play, I have a lot to improve and stuff that I'd like to clean up, but I don't think I'm, you know, close enough to where I want to be. So, you know, during this week that we've gotten, you know, to get better and stuff, I've really focused on some things and making things come to life. And obviously we have a little bit of time leading up to game one, and all of this time is going to be crucial for me to capitalize on and essentially get ready.
Bears rookie tackle Braxton Jones joining us here on Waddle and Sylvie. Braxton, you're a rookie, but some of your answers here make you sound like a 10-year vet. I like your approach. It's very, very mature for someone who's just a rookie in the NFL. When you were drafted initially, did you set out trying to win a starting role as a goal for yourself?
One of my goals, I even told a couple teams in doing like combine interviews and stuff, was to get my first start under my belt within my rookie season. And so, you know, that was one of my big goals. And, you know, I knew that it would take a little bit of time to develop a little bit, but I felt myself exceed a little bit and go over some of those bars. And I surprised myself a little bit, honestly, in some of the stuff I've done. But I think, obviously, there's such a long ways for me and the things I'll be able to do once I get certain things down, like seeing the box and stuff like that. But, you know, those were some of my goals that I, you know, I still want to accomplish. And obviously there's more to that as well. But, yeah.
Visiting with Braxton Jones from the Chicago Bears. What's it like to be a left tackle, especially with a guy like Fields? I'm sure you feel like a big responsibility, right? Jeff said it, the blind side, you've got to protect that. What's that like? What's that emotionally like, and the responsibility of keeping that quarterback upright?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge responsibility. Obviously, it's, you know, a huge responsibility for left tackle, but honestly, it's all five of us working together. And, you know, I think if all five of us really come together as a whole line, we'll all, you know, help each other in certain situations, because, you know, it doesn't all come down to the left tackle all the time. You know, if the interior is really good, that helps the, you know, the tackles out. So now Justin can step up and, you know, we can run the DNs around the edge and stuff like that. So I would say, you know, I do have a huge responsibility, and I take that very seriously in making sure he's, you know, clean and he's not getting hit at all and stuff like that. Like, I take that very seriously. I've talked to him. I've been like, you know, my bad on that one. I got to be better. And, you know, he doesn't come at me or anything like that. He's, you know, you're good. Just keep on doing what you do and stuff like that. But like I said, as a whole, it's going to be all of us together, you know, taking the responsibility and, you know, really building this thing.
Braxton Jones joining us, Braxton Jones of the Chicago Bears on ESPN 1000. Braxton, has there been a moment for you where you've stopped and said to yourself, man, I'm in the league, where it kind of like just dawned on you, like something that happened, whether it was in training camp, maybe it was when you first stepped on the field. Was there a moment for you where like, this is awesome, I can't believe it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I had a little moment. It was for about like 10 minutes. I think it was the drive, our small drive to our first preseason game when we played KC. And I just looked out the window and it all came to fruition. I was like, man, this is really crazy. I'm about to, you know, a year ago, I was going to, you know, play FCS ball and stuff like that. So it just really came to fruition. And, you know, it's so surreal that I was going to play my first preseason game. And not only playing the first preseason game, actually getting starting reps. And it's just unbelievable. But, I mean, it was only for 10 minutes. I don't got much time to pat myself on the back at all. I got big things to do. And I think, you know, keeping that mind, it's good to, you know, realize the stuff that you're doing and stuff, but you can't live in it for too long. You got to, you know, recognize it and get back to work. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's usually those little moments, right? It's not like, I don't know, the first touchdown drive. It's just a little drive to the ballpark. It's not anything necessarily that, or the stadium. It's not anything necessarily that big. Hey, I read an article, we won't hold it against you, that Tyrone Smith of the Cowboys was someone you looked up to. The Bears have a good tradition offensive lineman. Any of the older guys interact with you just yet? I know it's still early, but you'll see some of the older guys around Soldier Field and Hallis Hall every so often. Any good interactions with some former Bears yet?
I mean, I haven't had that many interactions with any of the former Bears at all, really. I've seen a couple of them around, but I haven't had a chance to kind of talk to them or anything like that. I think I saw Spice walking around the locker room once. That was cool because I used to watch all his funny videos and stuff like that. But besides that, I haven't seen much or got to talk to anybody. Somebody had talked to us and that was pretty cool, but just one-on-one, I haven't really talked to anybody.
Yeah, you make a couple good blocks, they'll come around. Those guys will come around. Probably have to earn it with the old guys, though. I think you guys have the weekend off, if I'm not mistaken. What are you going to do? You're probably your first weekend off since you came to town, right?
Yeah, I mean, since I came to town, I think we've had another weekend off. Okay. During OTAs, but yeah, we do, and I think it's a big time to get ahead for me, especially as a rookie. Obviously, some of the vets have the opportunity to maybe, you know, go see family or something like that. But for me, I feel like I'm so close to being, you know, locked in and I'm feeling at home that I want to get that extra time and, you know, maybe go into the facility a couple times and get some things done. But it's truly a time to get ahead for me, especially as a rookie that has, you know, that's never played a season this long or anything like that. So
Bears rookie left tackle Braxton Jones joining us here on ESPN 1000. Braxton, do you have a close friend on the roster, maybe someone from your draft class or another O lineman who you've really clicked with since the start of the training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I would say all the rookies that came in, because the Bears did draft four of us. So, you know, all four of us have connected. You know, Doug had got injured earlier, but we're still riding together. We're a super strong group, I'd say, because, you know, as rookies, you kind of got to, you know, stick together. And, you know, obviously you want to latch on to some of the vets as well, but, you know, you guys kind of mold together. So Doug, JT, Jatari, Zach, and those guys, we've, you know, kind of molded all well. And even Gene, that was, you know, had got cut recently, but still we're all together, you know, having a good time, making sure we weren't, you know, getting down or anything when certain things would happen and stuff. So, you know, we all molded very well.
I want to go back to your last answer. When you say getting ahead, is that like specifically looking at tape of the Niners, or what does that really mean, getting ahead?
It's just all of it. I think body-wise, obviously you just come off camp. I'm not, nothing's going wrong for me, but just making sure my body feels optimal for week one. You know, my mind, getting my mental right, kind of maybe taking a little bit of time just away from it a little bit to come back and it's strong on Sunday, Monday, mm-hmm. even a little bit Saturday too. But yeah, I would say obviously when I say that is more getting into that film too and just, you know, dissecting it and getting used to dissecting the film as in being in the NFL, you know, it's a lot different. You know, people are a lot better. There's a lot more tendencies. There's tendencies that I have that I need to look at and that I can improve during the week as well, too. So I'm on tape now for three preseason games. So that stuff is I need to look at as well. So just having this weekend will be great to get into the film, but also, for, like I said, for my mind and body as well.
See, Jeff, he is mature because I figured he might be going downtown, having a few nights out here. What's your favorite? No. Braxton, what's your favorite food? We'll give you a restaurant to go to. You like steak, pizza, what are you?
I don't know. I'm really set on just, you know, going to Chipotle and get me a good old bowl with,
yeah.
you know, right. chicken and I'm very simple. I'm
give
not it, too
Braxton, give
crazy.
Us your Braxton, give us
yeah,
your
what's
Chipotle
your Chipotle order?
Give
what's your favorite?
Bowl. What's the order?
No, I got you guys. So I usually go in and I get a bowl. I get brown rice, double up on the brown rice because you need the extra carbs. And then they had the pollo asado, but they just took it away. And that was kind of like the flavorful chicken. And mm-hmm. so I'll get either that or the steak, whichever they have. And then I usually do a little bit of hot sauce. And then two scoops of the pico, which is like their mild sauce. And then, I'll get a sprinkle of cheese. It depends on the day if I'm getting guacamole or not and sour cream. If I'm trying to hold back on, you know, the calories a little bit, then I won't go so hard on the sour cream, but I usually just get like a light drizzle on top because it's just, you just have to have it. But then, I just top that off. And that's kind of what I have every time I go bowling. And
awesome.
Then also with you got to get a tortilla on the side. And you can either do that, you could turn it into a burrito if you need, or I usually like tear pieces and kind of scoop it up with like the bowl materials. So
wait, if your film work is as detailed as what you just described, man, you're going to be a star in this league. That was awesome.
Bears, yeah, no, for sure.
Bears tackle Braxton Jones sharing his Chipotle order with us here on ESPN 1000. All right, Brax, I have to ask you then. So it sounds like with all the details, all the intricate details you just laid out, this is something that can't be accomplished merely by ordering ahead on the app. You have to actually go in and stand in the line every time, I have to believe.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in back in Cedar, where Southern Utah is, I went there so much. I actually just, you can do that on the app. They detailed the app so well that you can double up on chicken, double up on rice. You can double up whatever you need because that's how they have it in the app.
Sure.
So I did it that way in Cedar a lot, but I've been just going to the Chipotle and going through the line because it's nice and easy here. So and the Chipotle in Cedar had the one where you could just go through the drive through and just drive right, pick it up and drive right by, but
beautiful.
I don't think
efficiency.
This one has it here, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we have plenty of Chipotles up north where you are, so you always find one if you're out and about.
Yeah, no, for sure.
All right, Braxwell, we congratulate you on a very successful training camp to start things off, and it looks like your goal of getting your first start in your rookie year is well within reach. We're hoping to see it this upcoming Sunday when you kick off against the 49ers. Thanks for joining us here on ESPN 1000. Good luck, man.
Good luck.
Appreciate it, guys. I thank you guys for having me on. It was a good time talking, and you know, I'm looking forward to the season. Appreciate it.
We'll do it again, Braxton. Thank you so much.
Bears rookie Braxton Jones sounds like a 10-year vet already. He's got a maturity beyond his years, and he definitely is a vet of Chipotle, that's
yeah.
for sure.
That was good. I mean, he got detailed with that order. I love it. I love it. And like, I said it kiddingly, but you know, if you're that detailed in that part of your life, you're probably pretty detailed in the most important parts of your life, which right now, you know, his job, I'm assuming. So, everything I've seen from my amateur eyes, I've mm-hmm. liked, and I think Yurko and Waddle would agree, but it's very early, all that stuff. And but boy, sometimes those left tackles are on an island out there, and you just got to make the block. That's it.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I think what we played the Ryan Poles sound as we brought him in. I wanted to make sure that we played it for him. I'm sure he probably heard it, but you never, you know, want it, you know, just for the listeners out there who may not have heard Ryan Poles rave about him too, you know, they didn't necessarily draft him in the fifth round thinking, oh, this is our solution at left tackle, but you heard Ryan Poles lay it out at every step.
I think he used the phrase blown away.
He's met the challenge. And, you know, you hear it in the maturity beyond his years there in the interview that we just did
with
him.
What a nice kid. What a nice kid.
Yeah, it's great to have somebody who you can root for, and hopefully, you know, this will all play out well. He does have a tough challenge in front of him with Nick Bosa in the first week. But you know what? They're not, like you said, you're on an island. I don't think they'll leave him on an island for the most part. They will help him out. And the good thing, what I've seen from Luke Getsy early on, is that he's somebody who understands what he's up against, and he puts his offense in position to succeed. Unlike the predecessor, who oftentimes didn't necessarily have the answers to the questions at hand.
You know, I said that I watched it like two or three times, just focusing on him. And the pass blocking is obvious, but sometimes the run blocking, you got to look at it a couple times. And I swear to God, he made some like down mm-hmm. the field run blocks, including the one that got called back, and then Griffin got called for tight. But that had nothing to do with him. And Jones was halfway down the field, pancaking a guy. Yeah. So. As preseasons go, you'd rather see good than bad, but you take it with a grain of salt, and that's what you do. I don't want to say he's come out of nowhere. He kind of, I think he was the 15th offensive lineman taken. So,
fifth rounder, listen. Yeah, I mean, but this is too, if this works out, I mean, that'll be a feather in the cap of Ryan Poles.
Huge.
If you could find a left tackle in the fifth round.
Check that thing off?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
It will be an absolute coup for him if this plays out the way we hope. So very good success story, at least early in the preseason. We'll see how it unfolds. But he's also taken advantage of the fact that the Bears, bereft of talent, not a whole lot of people on the offensive line who stand out. Braxton Jones has come in, and as you mentioned, Ryan Poles saying there he was blown away. So hopefully, because he sounds like a very fun guy who we'd like to have on from time to time. So hopefully everything works out, because I'm excited, and he's created a fan in me.
Yeah, I wonder what people think of just the offensive line in general. It was so bad for, I guess you could say, so long. You know, it's been a few years since you could be proud of it, but it's kind of looking better. 312-332-3776. What'd you think of, what's your first impression of Braxton Jones, if that's the first time you've heard from him, which I'm sure it probably is. He's a rookie. He's quiet. He's just doing his job. Probably not doing a lot of interviews, but man, left tackle. Whew, that's as important as it comes, right?
So, no doubt.
Love to hear what people think about the line now that they've made these changes, and we've watched a few preseason games, and it's looked better each time, I think.
And just because Waddle has the day off, that does not mean we're not living in his world. Waddle's World, up next.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at aerobics in here. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities you can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Da, 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 da.
Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Jesse Rogers and Jeff Miller, we can't screw this segment up. I mean, this is the marquee segment of the show. And it's all on me to get this right, Waddle's World, right?
Yeah, all the pressure's on. The good news is that the great thing about Waddle's World is that...
Tyler printed everything out for me?
Well, no, I was going to say there's a formula to it. So as long as you follow the formula, we should have success.
All right, let's start with some sports news over at Guaranteed Rate Field. Luis Robert is on the paternity list. They've called up outfielder Mark Payton. Aaron Bummer transferred to the 60-day injured list, but he's eligible to come off tomorrow, so we'll see what happens there. They could use a lefty like him in the pen. But the biggest news of the day, Miguel Cairo putting his stamp on this team. They're going to pitch an opener,
yes.
And his name is Joe Kelly. He's going to pitch at least, I assume, just the first inning.
Probably, yeah. You wouldn't. Maybe you could go two if it was like a really efficient first inning. But
when has Joe Kelly had a really?
That's a fair point.
Oh, that's a cheap shot.
Fair counterpoint.
So we'll talk to Connor an hour from now to get the lowdown, because this seems like a Tony La Russa move, but Tony's not there.
Hmm. Well, Miguel Cairo did say that he consulted with Tony about the lineup the other day. So, you know, texting Tony back and forth. We'll see. It's a big series against the Twins.
Well, also, you have to believe management's involved in a decision like this as well. This can't just be Miguel Cairo on his own.
Is Miguel Cairo more receptive to the suggestions of the front office?
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Or did Cairo take it to the front office? I mean, who knows? That's why we have Connor in an hour.
It's all on the table.
Listen to this. Board of Managers decides on a 12-team college football playoff, according to sources. It's going to happen in 2026. So we're going to go from four to 12 teams by 26. Yay or nay on that, Jeff?
Absolutely yay. The NFL playoffs are magical.
Yeah.
I can't get enough. College football playoffs, for the most part, it just makes too much sense for me. Once the bowl system got blown up, and the relevancy of most bowl games is no longer there. I mean, you know, Tyler Aki and Nick behind the glass, they're so young, they probably don't even remember the nostalgia of bowl games. They don't really resonate like they do
for you and me, the Rose Bowl was amazing.
You know, so
now it's meaningless.
But the point was, like, you would carve out time on New Year's Day to watch all the bowl games. New Year's Day really doesn't mean much in regards to the bowl games anymore. So absolutely, give me a 12-team playoff. Although I have to say, I'm open to 16. 16 seems like a good number. If you're going to go 12, are we going with a couple buys here?
So, yeah, there's 6 at-large and 6 conference winners. So this is my big thing.
But wait, Tyler, how is it going to work with the buys? There must be four buys.
Four seeds each receive a first-round buy. Teams seeded 5 through 12 will play each other in the first round. And the other thing that's notable is that the higher-ranked team gets a home field advantage. So they're going to play at their own stadium for teams seeded 5 through 12 in that first round.
What I like is that even though teams 13 and 14 will probably argue, we will for sure have the top teams in college playing. Okay? I mean, when we get to 12, come on.
So
I don't even know if there's 12 great teams in college.
So 6 conference winners and then 6 from the Big Ten and the SEC.
Okay. Yeah.
6 at large from the Big Ten and SEC.
My point is,
be honest.
If you're just a college football fan, you can't complain after this. If you know what I'm saying?
They'll always complain.
That's what I'm saying. 13 and 14 will complain. But 5 and 6 many times did have an argument. Now there's no arguments.
I would say,
in my mind,
that the best thing college... See, as a sports consumer and fan, I will be more interested in a full college playoff like this. But I would say what keeps college football actually relevant in some parts is the conversation surrounding the, you know, 5 and 6 teams and whether or not they make it a big deal.
I'm saying
in terms of being in the conversation, college football, I think it actually feeds off of the idea that these 5th and 6th and 7th place teams that are trying to get into the playoff.
But
me as a consumer, I want it.
I don't care about debate. I care about a cool playoff system.
Agreed.
Which is what you're saying.
I wonder if in the long term it actually will hurt them a little bit because the conversation surrounding who actually makes the playoffs won't really. I don't think it'll really ramp up now until you essentially have the playoffs.
That'll be replaced by the extra games and the betting aspect of it all. And who, you know what I mean?
One thing about it though is that that bye is very, very important. Like, we hear about it in the NFL, and we're going to hear a lot about it with baseball this year now that there's byes. I think that conversation of the 5th and 6th team now turns into, are they going to get the bye?
Yeah, who's earned the bye?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Speaking of college football, Alabama, one of the biggest preseason national title favorites in 20 years, they're plus 180. Now, to me, that seems like a good deal if you're a bettor. I like plus 180 on Alabama, even though I get it. It's early September, and you should be getting better odds than that. But that is... Are you surprised that's one of the lowest odds?
Ever?
Yeah.
No, I mean, because the truth is that even though it seems like a slam dunk and it's a favorite, we're talking about college kids. They've got to navigate an entire college football season where it only... You know, I guess The good thing about Alabama is generally you can suffer a loss and still win the national title if you're them. Right. Whereas a lot of teams can't say that.
Yeah.
But,
Cincinnati.
But you play in a tough conference, and so, you know,
two losses and you've lost your money.
Exactly.
You've lost your money. They're plus 180. That's the lowest favorite since 2001. Since 2001, only USC at plus 160. That came in 2005, was lower odds. USC plus 160. So here's Alabama at plus 180. The Cavaliers, have you heard this, are acquiring Utah Jazz star Donovan Mitchell. Look like it might be the Knicks, but it's going to be the Cavaliers. What does that mean for the Bulls? Not good news. You get a Western Conference star coming over to the East. Well, boy, Cleveland. I never thought Cleveland would get their act together quicker than the Bulls.
Post-LeBron, they have. I don't think the Cavs, you know, are title contenders by any means, but I agree with you. I do think they've, at this point, you have to definitely favor them to be better than the Bulls. And look at what they've assembled now. They have Donovan Mitchell, who's 26 years old, under contract for three more years with another option year in there. Darius Garland, who had just signed a long-term deal himself. Jarrett Allen, who also is very young. And by the way, Rookie of the Year runner-up and defensive force, Evan Mobley. So four of their five starters are all, you know, Mitchell's 26, and I think the other four are all under the age of 24. So you have a young, dynamic team that is going to be a problem in the Bulls division. It's not great.
The Premier League breaks a record in spending. $2.2 billion.
It was transfer deadline day yesterday, Jess.
God.
And unlike
seems
other
like a
sports,
lot of money.
So unlike other sports, you don't trade for players in the Premier League or in international soccer. You buy players from the club.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what that is referencing, is they've set another record in spending and acquiring players.
And as we've been talking about, this made the hot list today. Ted Phillips, president of the Bears, announces he'll retire at the end of the 2022 season. Quote, "I will always bleed blue and orange and forever be proud to be part of the Chicago Bears family," he said in a statement. 40 seasons. This is all we measure it by. One Super Bowl title. That was, you know, he didn't have much to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
One other Super Bowl appearance. He did have a hand in that. Had a hand in hiring Jerry Angelo and Lovie Smith, but also a hand in hiring a lot of other people that didn't work out. So, I think we've been talking about, I'm not sure the average fan cares that much about Ted Phillips. If they replace him with a football-oriented president of football operations type, then it becomes important and interesting.
But will that be the route they go, or will it be more about internal candidates who have been working alongside Ted Phillips? That's something that has obviously been discussed and reported on. So, you know, whether it's someone like Trace Armstrong, who I think would be an ideal candidate, or somebody like Scott Hagel or Karen Murphy, who currently work within the organization, could they be the names that are being interviewed
and what will this job entail?
Yes.
Is it all about finances? Is it all about the new stadium? Is it about football and finances? Like, are the job responsibilities going to be different than what Ted Phillips had? I mean, we don't know any of those answers.
You brought up Tom Ricketts hiring Theo Epstein earlier. Will it be a situation where you see even, you know, Ryan Poles, even though he doesn't have the president title, but he's the GM, and he answers, as we know now, to George McCaskey directly? Will it be, in some ways, the flow chart, the org chart, be just like it was with the Cubs, where you had Theo Epstein on one side and Crane Kenny on the other, reporting to Tom Ricketts? Will this role just be reporting to George McCaskey, and now Ryan Poles reporting directly to George McCaskey now have
right, because we know they're
oversight.
Not going to hire a president of football operations and a president of finance.
Yeah.
And have Poles is going to be that football guy.
Like, would you be okay if everyone just bumped up the ladder here? Because remember, the Bears hired Ian Cunningham as an assistant GM, and they'd never had an assistant GM before.
No, listen, you cannot promote Ryan Pace or, you know, to team president.
You mean Poles?
I'm sorry, yeah, that's going to happen a lot this year. Ryan Poles, he cannot be elevated to team president after what?
Because he drafted Braxton Jones?
yeah, that's a little aggressive, but I'm, you know.
But I think the John McDonough thing is such a great example. Rocky Wirtz, who was in a hockey family that wasn't dealing with things day to day, he goes out and hires a marketing guy, basically,
I guess, when
to be president.
The more I think about this, put somebody in place whose sole job and responsibility, their biggest thing, is going to be to get the Arlington Heights project right. everything they do. That's because that is going to really pave the way for what the Bears are going to be doing for the next 20 to 30 years.
You see what Buck Showalter said the other day? He's like, when people leave Citi Field, or when they come to Citi Field, I want the hot dogs to be hot, the beer to be cold, the parking lot to be manageable. You're right. I want the new guy to be dealing with that.
Yes.
And make that thing a first-class experience.
Yes, yes.
Because over here is not quite that.
I want
at Soldier Field.
I want Timmy Trumpet playing Narco for the entrance of Edwin Diaz. Did you see that on Wednesday night? That was awesome.
Fabulous.
I mean,
I was on Buster Olney's podcast and I was like, you know what? This should be a thing with closers. Just closers.
Dude.
Have the live musician just for closers.
Mm-hmm.
Turn off the lights for 10, 20 seconds. Live musician and make the closers a thing.
If you haven't seen it, Timmy Trumpet, who has the song Narco with who's it with? Do you know Tyler? I have to look it up. But Edwin Diaz enters every home game to the trumpet and the EDM music. It's phenomenal, and it has taken over New York. Like, you know, not since Enter Sandman and Mariano Rivera for the Yankees has it closers. Entrance song been as big as Edwin Diaz is right now.
Blaster Jacks.
Thank you.
And he played it live the other day from the warning track. It was tremendous. Man, what a good trumpet player he is. Anyway,
you don't get to be Timmy Trumpet without being able to play the trumpet.
Right. So how do we segue to the next thing here?
The next thing?
Don't we break first?
Listen, Waddle's World is not over yet, my friends. We're just a brief interlude. We'll give you know what we also have? We have, before we get back to Waddle's World, we've got some free tickets to give away.
If it's free, it's me. Anybody listening that knows me knows that.
They do. It is Free Ticket Friday, continuing here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
Let's go, 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 White Sox! We're with you all the way. You're always
only three more chances to win White Sox tickets for the season from ESPN 1000. This is one of them right now. It is a free ticket Friday. Caller 7 right now will get a pair of tickets to see Sox and Tigers on September 24th. Brought to you, of course, by our great partners over at Miller Lights. Be caller number 7 right now, 312-332-3776, for those pairs of tickets.
Love it. Let's continue on Waddle's World. This headline says it all, Jeff, right here. The nation's poorest state used welfare money to pay Brett Favre for speeches he never made. I don't think even need the story after that. The nation's poorest state used welfare money to pay Brett Favre for speeches he never made. This is the state of Mississippi.
Oh, Mississippi.
Yeah, and we should say, and he made about $1.1 million, but he repaid the fees. I don't think he knew where the money was coming from. You know how it is. Someone hires you to speak.
All of a sudden, you got $1 million in your bank account. You're like, where did this come from?
Right. Welfare money going to I don't even know why would the state even do that? Why? You know what I mean? Like, to get in good with Brett Favre? It's such a weird story.
Isn't he from there?
Yeah, no, he's from there.
No, I know,
I'm just skeptical of. I need some more reporting.
Well, you think maybe he wasn't?
No. Listen, I'm not going to accuse Brett Favre. However, you know, I'm sure Brett Favre has people who represent him, and the inner workings of government are not always on the up and up.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm curious to know a little more about what's going on there. But
fortunately, I'm not going to read any more than that.
I doubt it's just a $1,000,001. Accidentally going into Brett Favre's bank account.
There's something going on there for sure. Dog sniffs out cocaine hidden in wheelchair at Milan Airport. A drug-sniffing dog led Frontier Police Friday at a Milan airport to some 13 kilograms, nearly 30 pounds, of cocaine stuffed into the leather upholstery of a motorized wheelchair whose user immediately stood up and was arrested. Now, what's interesting is, you can't use the, it's not my car, it's not my it's not my wheelchair, I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, you're done, you're busted.
Yeah, 30 pounds of cocaine hidden in your wheelchair is not a good look.
Well, I guess you could say, I just got this wheelchair, someone else Right, I guess you could do that. But you know what I mean?
But when you stand up, why were you using said wheelchair? I think that's that giveaway.
That part is the giveaway for
you. You had some nefarious reasons for using said.
You could say, well, the airport gave me this wheelchair. I didn't know it was stuffed in there. I guess you could possibly say it's not yours.
I mean, you could try anything. I don't know if it's going to, you know, it's going to work. I don't know the inner workings of Italian.
Getting up and walking away or trying to, that's a good giveaway.
Yeah.
Box of reptiles mailed to the wrong address in New York. Several live lizards were wrongly delivered to a residence in a village north of New York City. Needless to say, the addressee was quite startled when they opened the box, Port Chester police wrote on Facebook. Police received the call about the reptiles just after noon on Saturday. So you get
Were they live reptiles?
Yes, live lizards. You get a package in the mail.
Okay.
You open the box.
And they're live lizards.
What do you do?
Well,
I'd scream like a
five-year-old. You know, I feel like they have to be packaged in some way, right? Like are they? I just open up a box and they're walking around the box.
Huh. Police wrote on Facebook: "If you lost your lizards and iguanas, we have them at the police department."
Yeah, I mean,
pretty funny.
Definitely odd, unexpected package. Don't expect to see lizards one day at your door.
This is not surprising. Mike Tyson to debut his bitten ear-shaped edibles at three New Jersey legal weed shops over Labor Day weekend. So he's not exactly shying away from the whole biting the ear thing.
Well, no, listen, he's been somebody who's openly talked about, you know, his use of edibles and marijuana and cannabis. So no surprise there, a good marketing opportunity for him. I wonder who would, I'm more, you know, I don't partake, but if I did, I'd be more curious as to the strength and, you know, the type of high I get, not necessarily buying my edibles for the shape of the gummy.
Well,
am I wrong?
I hear it knocks you out.
I think it depends on
I need a little rim shot for that one.
You know what? Take a lap.
That's I need a rim shot for that one. He's going to meet and greet people. He's going to meet and greet people that buy the bitten ear-shaped edibles.
Would you go out of your way to purchase this if you happen to be, if it was close? Would you be like, I'm gonna go try this? I'm curious.
Yes, and I would like to see Mike Tyson too, so I would go meet him.
Yeah,
and then you get a little,
there you go,
you get a little something out of it.
That's fair.
All right, these weight loss,
we've had Mike Tyson in studio. He was very cordial.
That's what everyone says. Guy.
It was a blast to have him in the the old National Bank Studios back in the day. Well, it was fairly early when we opened the State Street Studios. It was probably the first or second year. So it was a pretty cool. He was a very cool person to meet in person.
I'm tired of these weight loss crazy stories. Your brain actually talks to your fat cells, and that could be the secret to lasting weight loss. And come on. I mean, please. Researchers have uncovered newly identified sensory neurons that ferry messages from fat tissues to the brain, according to Science Daily. The discovery of these neurons suggests for the first time that your brain is actively surveying your fat rather than just passively receiving messages about it. The implications of this finding are profound.
It sounds like a topic for the next Armchair Nutritionist podcast, if ever I heard
Danny Zetterman attacked this one. Sounds like a money-making scheme in the making.
Get to the bottom of it.
The study, which was published in Nature, has found that messages to fat tissues can be streamlined by the brain. Finding it can directly send messages to fat tissues and influence the body's metabolic processes rather than responding to hormonal signals in the blood. Whatever.
What do we need to do in the, you know, how does this play out in real life? What do I need to do in order to reduce it? That's what I think I need more information regarding.
Yeah.
You know, how do we actually,
like I said,
tap into it?
It's the next money-making scheme. That's it for Waddle's World.
All right, Jesse Rogers, a stirring rendition of Waddle's World. I'm Jeff Meller. We're in for the guys as they are getting their Labor Day weekend started a little bit early. Hopefully you are as well, or hopefully you're already there. You can kick back, relax, and take it easy. We're under a week away from the NFL season. We got some big Bears news regarding the organization, and Ryan Poles spoke yesterday. And the White Sox are making a change with their starting rotation tonight. We'll tell you all about it next here on ESPN 1000.